That's number 8.
Samugurta ekasmin.
Asamugurta ekasmin.
Asamugurta ekasmin.
Asamugurta ekasmin.
Nanagare suyositam.
Nanagare suyositam.
Nanagare suyositam.
Nanagare suyositam.
Savidam jagre panin. Asam,
Aldos,
Mugurte,
at one time,
Ekasmin,
simultaneous,
Nanagaresu,
in
different compartments,
Yoshitam,
of the women, Savidam,
with
perfect rituals,
Jagre,
accepted.
Panim,
hands,
Anurupa,
exactly to match,
Swamayaya,
by his internal potency. Translation by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. All those princesses were lodged in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions, exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect ritual by his internal potency. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33, the Lord is described as follows in regard to his innumerable plenary expansions. Advaitam achyutam anadi anantarupam adyam purana purisham navayavanam sya vede sudurlabam adurlabam atma bhakto govindam adi purisham tamaham bhajami. The Lord Govinda, whom I worship, is the original personality of Godhead. Is non-different from his innumerable plenary expansions, who are infallible, original and unlimited, and who have eternal forms. Although he is primeval, the oldest personality is always fresh and young. By his internal potency, the Lord can expand himself into various personalities as Swayam Prakasha, and again into Prabhava and Vaibhava forms, and all of them are non-different from each other. The forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princesses in different apartments were all slightly different, just to match each and every one of them. They are called Vaibhava Vilasa forms of the Lord, and are affected by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. Om Agyanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Mumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Yena Vitale Svayam Rupa Kadamati Pradati Svapadati. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Guru Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, this verse 3.8 is in continuation to the previous verse. So in the previous verse, it is said that, because when you look at this verse, you know, it doesn't, you may be a little bit confused with this. So, in the previous verse, it said, there in the house of, previously even the one before two, yeah, the last two, in fact, were text number 6 and 7. So, what's happened was, Narakasura, a demon, he was born for Mother Earth and the Lord himself. So this demon was born, Supreme Lord as his father, and Mother Earth was his mother. So this demon, what he did was, he kidnapped about 16,100, it says, 16,100 princes from different places, and he kept them for his enjoyment. So in Vedic tradition, what happens is, a woman, a girl, is under the custody of the parents till she is married. Right? Now, if the woman comes out of the custody of her parents, then she is not chaste. Right? So that is how the Vedic system works. Now, this person, Narakasura, what he did was, he took all the princes away so that, according to the Vedic customs, fine, they cannot get married. They have to choose him. Right? Even though he's a demon, he's got a little bit of a principle, but the principle is working the wrong way. So he kidnapped all of them and kept under his under his care so that they cannot marry anyone else. Right? It's sort of exploitation in a sense. So he kept all the princesses under his care. Right? But somehow the ladies wanted to be freed from him and get attracted to Krishna and wanted to marry him. So the Lord knew the desire. Right? And so he went, the Supreme Lord went, attacked the demon, and he married all the princesses. And then later on, they were sent to Dwaraka, and where the Lord lived there, with the 1,108, they said. But here it says 1,100, and we know that it's 16,108, but I don't know the account for two, what's up, but it's in some of the places it says 16,100, and sometimes 16,100 means 8 less, isn't it? So some of the places it says 16,108 queens, right? So there's a discrepancy of 8. So this verse, what has happened was, all these princesses were lodged in different apartments, and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions, exactly matching each and every princess's. He accepted the hands in perfect ritual by his internal potency. So, we just talk a little bit about the outline of the story of Narakasura, right? We're not dwelling on the story, right? The outline is, Narakasura, as you know, is a demon. So, Krishna explains in the chapter 16. Chapter 16 is the divine and the demonic natures. The Lord has kept one chapter for the divine and the demonic nature, right? So, why do he has to allocate a chapter for that? Divine and demonic. Because so far, he was dealing with all the divine qualities, right? Talking to Arjuna. But we should also know what is demonic qualities too. So, the first couple of verses talks about divine, and the rest of the chapters talks about demonic qualities, which most of the people have in Kali Yuga, demonic qualities, except the devotees. So in that, in one of the verses it says, the quality of a demon is, what does he think? Aham bohi aham ishwara. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. That is a mode of a demon, right? Everything is for my enjoyment, I am controlling everything. So this Narakasura had this mentality that, yes, I want to enjoy, so I will own everything. This is a mentality. Now, it was said that one may ask a question, right? How come he was born to the Supreme Personality Godhead and Mother Earth, right? Mother has got a lot of pastimes, which we just see possible. Now, this demon was born to them, but yet he became a demon. How? Because of bad association. Bana, it said right? One more demon. He has an association of another demon and became very bad. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in this regard, gives an example of his personal example. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada refers to this, right? In many lectures too. He says that when he was living in Calcutta, he had a friend, a solicitor friend, known as Banerjee. Know the story anyone? Now, this Banerjee is a lawyer, a solicitor. Of course, you know, lawyers, you know that, you know. It's a very prestigious position in India, those times. Now, he had two sons. Obviously, the first son became a lawyer, solicitor. That's good upbringing. The second son basically became a demon. So what he did was, because of his bad association with his friends, whatever it may be, he married a horse carriage owner's daughter. But imagine India those times, right? Very prestigious, right? So the first son followed the father. He became a solicitor and he listened to his father. He got married in a very prestigious family and all that. That's fine. The second son married a horse carriage owner's daughter. You can't say owner. There's only one horse carriage at the time. Horse carriage daughter, you know. So I remember, you know, when I was about 7 years or so, right? We did not have this auto rickshaw at the time. It was sort of coming. So I used to go in horse carriage and to school, you know, from the house. That was about a couple of kilometers. So the horse carriage will come home. So, you know, and the horse will make a noise. No horn at the time. And so I know, we'll be inside. You know, the horn is like that. You know how the horse is? Of course, he has trained like that, you know. And when he stands to every houses, you know, it'll make. So the horse comes. And so I know the horse has come. And then I have to take my baggage and sit in the horse. There'll be a lot of people. But the only thing is, the horse carriage will not be straight, stable. It'll be like this. If you're not careful, you will slope and you will fall down. You know, have you seen that? Because a horse is quite big, you know, and it's mounted the carriage. It's always like this, you know. You know? Really seen that? But in the city when you go, the horse carriage is straight. They make everything straight. Eh? But anyway. But it's almost like this, like a slope, you know. So I make it a point that I sit between the two. You know what I mean? Two guys. Even if I fall, I can catch someone else. So that was the thing. So we used to, you know, sit, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. We used to, having a small body, it's easy to accommodate. Not like this. Now I need one full horse carriage. Right? So we sit, you know, like that. And then in between, you know, we go. And it goes to the next horse, house. And it makes the same noise, you know. And that guy will come. And then we'll go to the school. That is how we used to there. No pollution also. But now, the horse is used for the Melbourne Cup. They're running. But not with the carriage. You know, only the horses are running. Right? So this demon. So that was. So Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that. That is why. Why did he marry horse carriage owner's son, daughter? Because of bad association. Right? So association is very important. Right? So, even in devotion service, it's stressed that association is very much stressed, okay? So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stresses the association two times, right? First is, you have to give up bad association. Give up. And the second thing, you have to have the association of the devotees. See, two times association is mentioned. Right? You have to give up, or you have to associate with the devotees, and you have to give up bad association. Otherwise, you know, one cannot progress in spiritual life. Okay, coming back to this, Narakasura is also known as Bauma Sura because Bhumi Devi, right? He was born to Bhumi, Bauma Sura. Very, very powerful, actually. You know, who can kidnap, 16,108 prince? Which means if you have to kidnap, you have to fight with the king, you know? It's very powerful. And then,
Krishna also has to really, you know, work to get this guy, because he had a lot of these fences, you know. One of the fences, it was said that it consists of barbed wire, electric fence. You cannot get into that. See, those days, you know, one may think the technology is very poor. No, they had very high technology, which we can't even think, you know. He had a fence, right, surrounded in where he kept all these, you know, princesses. One of the fence, it said, was electric fence, electric wire. How could he do that? No electrician at the time. But he did that. And then one of the fence had gaseous gas, very poisonous gases coming out. You cannot go. No human person can go in, actually. You know. So that's why, you know, the Lord went and captured them. I'm just saying how powerful he is. He could do all that. So he went, he captured, and basically the Lord killed also. You know, that's why he could take all the princes. Now, one may ask a question, right? How come Narakasura kidnapped all the princesses, right? We are condemning him and we are saying he's a demon. But Krishna also kidnapped Rukmini. So, how do we see this, right? Krishna kidnapped Rukmini, isn't it? We are glorifying. Sorry?
Rukmini has a consent.
It's a what?
It's a consent. She wrote later to Krishna and someone.
But what did Krishna do? Did he kidnap or not?
It's a... Yeah.
In a sense, he kidnapped. But at the end of the day, he kidnapped. That's what. Right? So how do we see that? It was a ritual, is it? It's a practice, he said, at the time. No. That in Vedic custom, no. No. It's not like that. No, it's not. Krishna kidnapped, basically, right? Why?
Because Rukmini
wanted to. That is right. That's one other question. Going a little bit deeper. Okay. We'll come back to that in a minute. That is because, that is what Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. Right? Brahma Samhita 5.33. That's the whole point we're going to discuss now. I wish we have more time. So, right? We are going to come back in a minute. So, as you said, what happens is the Lord, right? The Lord is present in each one's heart as Paramatma. Right? Everyone's heart, Lord is present as Paramatma. Now the Lord, what happens is when the creation is done, right? The Lord enters, right? Once the body is created, the Lord enters into the heart and then he activates all the 11 senses, including the mind. So without the activation of the, without the help of the Lord, one cannot even see or talk or do anything. It's Paramatma who activates all the 11 senses. The 5 knowledge acquiring senses, the 5 working senses, and one mind. It's the Lord who activates that. So the Lord, sitting in the heart as Paramatma, he knows the desire of each and every person, regardless he's a devotee or not. Such powerful personality Krishna is. Right? Very, very unlimitedly powerful. The more you talk about Krishna, the more powerful nature of Krishna you can understand. So powerful is. Unlimitedly powerful, the Lord. Each going, you know, every individual is situated as Paramatma. Just imagine that one aspect. That's one aspect of the Lord. So, as you said, the Lord, Rukmini, what happened was, at that time, in Rukmini's palace, where was the place? Mantaka, is it? The place where King Rukmini was. In? Sorry, Prabhu, can you? Place was. So what happens is, he was a king, right? So all the saintly people used to visit, you know, where Rukmini's palace, okay, Rukmini was on, and they used to talk about Krishna, and Narada Muni especially, he visited, and Narada Muni used to talk about the glories and transcendental pastimes of the Lord, and because of that, by hearing, she got attracted to Krishna. So that is why Srila Prabhupada introduced this Shravanam, you know, in our centers. Just by hearing, we will get attracted to Krishna. So Rukmani, in that process, by hearing, she got attracted to Krishna and she developed a desire to attain him. And that is why the Lord reciprocated to her desire. So in that way, and moreover, she did not want, as he said, in a partly she's right, he's right, because she did not want to get married to Shishupala. After all, you know, he's a 100% demon. Right? He's a supreme personality of demon. So who wants to get married to a demon anyway, you know, ladies? So that is the reason, you know, Lord reciprocated with her. So in that sense, you cannot say that it's kidnapped, right? And moreover, whatever the Lord does, he's transcendental. So Lord himself says that in 4.9, Janma Karma Chare Divyam Evam Yo Vekti Tatvata. Right? Whatever the Lord does, it's transcendental. It's not material. Krishna is 100% spiritual. Right? Completely absolute truth. Krishna and Radharani is absolute truth. So how can the Lord do any wrong things or material things? You know? All right. So what I thought is, we will go through this Brahma Samhita, which Srila Prabhupada says. So answering that point, one should know completely, right, about the Lord. Now this Brahma Samhita 5.33 talks about the Lord's transcendental nature, and that confirms that the Lord has got many forms and his actions are completely transcendental, and that proves that Krishna will do only activities that is normal or which is not a deteriorating one. Now even in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Srila Prabhupada again says this verse, you know, that's what I was saying. So in this 4.9, where the Lord Srila Prabhupada, you know, says that in the Brahma Samhita 5.3, it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnation. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. So Srila Prabhupada has mentioned that. And here also in 5.33 also Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. So let us see this verse, right? Which is very, very important for our understanding. Now, Advaitam. Advaitam means no duality. So Krishna and his forms have got no duality. Right? All his expansions are the same. Right? It's one and the same, and there's no difference. But in the material world, there is duality. Right? For example, there's a photograph of mine. Okay? The photograph of mine and I are completely different. But the photo or the archivigraha of Krishna and Krishna, they are the same. Right? If you take 100 photos of Krishna, please you can sit down. So if you can take 100 photos of Krishna, right? In each photo, Krishna can reciprocate. This is the nature of the Lord. But if you take one photo of mine, after some days, you know, that's it, it's gone. And moreover, you know, our form is gone. Right? Because we are born and we have to die. Jyota Sihi Dhruvam Riti, Dhruvam Janma Riti. Those who are born is sure to die. And those who die, again has to be born back. So our form is temporary, whereas Krishna's form is transcendental. So Krishna and his forms, there is no duality. Then, Achyutam means infallible. Right? The Lord does not fall. What do you mean by Lord does not fall down?
Tinged by karma fall. There is no karma fall of the Lord.
Yeah. In a more sense, what I was thinking is, the Lord, he remembers everything, right? We fall down because we can't remember. Every birth, you know, we are changing bodies. Material energy means changing bodies. Right? How we change bodies? At the time of death, we die. The soul and the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego, takes one more gross body. So we are constantly, you know, changing bodies. This is known as transmigration of soul. The soul is constantly picking up new bodies. We are born, child, boy, youth, adolescent, old age, we die. Again, what happens? When they die, the body is burnt. So the soul goes and takes another body. So we keep on changing. So there is no... All our forms are temporary. But Krishna, you know, he's Purana Purusham, he's the oldest. Right? The same form, you know. 5,000 back, you know, 5,000 years back when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, the same form. Now also same form. And millions of years back also same form. Krishna does not change his form. So in that sense, the Lord is Achyuta, infallible. Right? He remembers everything. Even in the fourth chapter, Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, right? He said, you can remember, you know, he said, you cannot remember all your previous births, but I can remember all my births. Because Krishna is completely transcendental, so he knows. Anadi. Anadi means no beginning, no end. Right? We have a beginning, we have an end, and we change, right? We have a beginning, we change, and then that leads to the end. But Krishna, anadi means no beginning, no end. Right? If someone asks us our birthday, then it's a problem. Because that's a beginning, you know. When are you born means, oh, we have to die. Right? They'll ask, isn't it, what's your birthday? You are born such and such a day. That means, you know, yes, you are born. That means you have to die also. Right? But Krishna does not have a beginning and an end, anadi. Ananta. Ananta means unlimited. Unlimited forms Krishna has got. So what happens? Krishna first, in the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, expands as Balaram. Then he expands into Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Anuruddha, Pradyumna, and then Mahavishnu, Narayana, then Mahavishnu, then Garbhatakashaya Vishnu, Siratakashaya Vishnu, and millions of Garbhatakashaya Vishnu, millions of Mahavishnu, right? Millions of Siratakashaya Vishnu. Unlimited forms. See, in this room, right, say for example, there are about 50 or 60 people. Now, in each one's heart, right, there is Paramatma, right? So, how many Paramatma are there? If 60 people are there? How many Paramatmas are there? So, Lord enters into every atom, unlimited too. But I wanted it, and I was expecting answer one. Because all the Paramatma is only one. He expands. Right? Doesn't matter. Millions. But Paramatma is only one. He expands. Right? But the same Paramatma, the Paramatma in everyone's body is the same. There's no difference. So he's got unlimited form, but there's no difference. See, it's very, very difficult to understand this. Achinta, Beda, Beda, Tattva. Very difficult, inconceivable. Okay. Ananta, Rupam, you know the forms. Krishna has got many forms. Then Adyam means original. He is the original personality and the supreme personality. Then Purush, Adyam, Purana. Purana means oldest. Oldest person, Krishna. So one would expect that Krishna is very old, you know, with a white beard and all that. Because he's the oldest person, right? One would expect. Because when you say, you know, where's your father? He's my father. Oh, you've got a grandfather too. Who is your grandfather? Oh, this is a grandfather. Grandfather means he'll be old. Right? So in the family, we address the old person's grandfather and he's very old. But Krishna is the oldest. But what does it say? So what? The next line says, Nava Yavana. He is old, but how does he look? Always young. 16 years old. This is how Krishna's form. So when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was 125 years. Same Krishna. So how was he looking here? He was looking younger than Arjuna, in fact. In fact, Arjuna was younger to Krishna. Arjuna was younger or older? Equal. Friend. Okay. Good answer. But yet, Krishna was looking young, right? He was like looking only 16 years old. So this is the power of God, right? Always young, but he's the oldest. So one may think that oldest means very old. No, the Veda says, Brahma is saying, no, he's oldest, but yet he's like a 16-year-old boy. Then Vedesu Durlabha. Through what is Veda? Veda is full of knowledge. Okay? One, if you have to understand God, you have to go through knowledge, Vedas. Right? But Brahma is saying that through Vedas it's very, very difficult to understand the Lord. Veda is a durlabham. Difficult. Adurlabham, easy. If you connect yourself to the devotee of Krishna, if you connect yourself to the parampara, then it's very easy. You've got a parampara line there, right? If you connect to the parampara, it's very easy to understand Krishna. No problems. Atma Bhakto, he should be a devotee of the Lord. Then it's very easy. Govindam Adi Purisham Tamaham Pachan. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma is saying this prayer. Now, in the purport, right? So, this is what Srila Prabhupada says. So, based on this, we know that, yes, as Krishna explains in 4.9, Krishna's activity is transcendental. Because who can compare one to Krishna? Isn't it? All this, right? Advaitam, oldest, you know, unlimited. He's got transcendental form, yet he's young. All this can combine. We know that, yes, Krishna, what Krishna says in 4.9, Janma Karma Chamedevi, yes. Is transcendental. Activities are transcendental. And one who knows his Krishna's transcendental activities in truth, the Lord says, he will not have next birth. Because once you know Krishna, you cannot have birth. Because you know. If you know Krishna means, you know that you are the soul. And once you know on the soul, what happens? A devotee does not act on the bodily platform. We saw Narakasura, right, is a demon. Demons means what? Attached to the body. Body means ignorance and passion. Krishna says, you know, do not stay in the lower modes, mode of passion and ignorance, right? Demons, they stay in the mode of passion and ignorance. Passion, ignorance means attached to the body. But a devotee who has a knowledge, what is a knowledge? The knowledge that you are not this body, but you are spirit soul. So with that understanding, what happens? He strengthens his knowledge. And then he does not act on the bodily platform. Because acting on the bodily platform means suffering. Kapila Muni, in the third canto, he says that the living entities are suffering because of their attachment to material energy or body. Because the material energy has given two forms of body. What are the two forms? One is a gross form. Right? Gross body, which will die at the time of death. And the other one is subtle body, mind, intelligence and false ego, which keeps on changing. So the mind which we had in the previous birth is the same mind. That is why the mind is adamant. What? How do we know what we have done in the previous birth? So we have to clean our mind. Right? Every day morning we put some soap and clean. We look better, nice. But the mind is full of dirty things. How do you clean your mind? With jiff? The only way to clean the mind is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare. That's the only way to clean. Because the Lord's holy name only can clean the mind. Mantra means mantra, right? It's a Maha Mantra. Man means mind. Tra means to deliver the mind, to clean or to deliver the mind. That can be done only by chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra. No other way. You cannot clean the mind. You have to come to Krishna. So after understanding that one is a spirit soul, what one does? He has got the knowledge. So he does not act on the bodily platform. What is acting on the bodily platform means? Avoiding all these four sinful activities. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. These are the four things which will draw a person away from Krishna. If you perform all this, then one cannot understand that they are the spirit soul. And if you don't know that you are spirit soul, how can you go back? How do you know that, you know, if you know that you are not the spirit soul, then how can you go back? Then you think that you are the body and all your field of activity will be wrong. You choose wrong field of activities. You think I am the body, I have to take care of my family. That's, you know, that's building a house, getting a better job. You know, that is all goes wrong in a wrong direction, wrong field of activity. But if you know that you are the soul, what you will do? The priority will be, we are not saying that don't work or anything. If you know that you are the soul, the priority will be Krishna consciousness. Chant. Take only the Lord's prasadam for a purification of your existence. We have done sins. Any activity, if you do, which is not Krishna conscious, it is going to produce bad reaction. Sin. And we have to suffer. The material energy is unforgiving. If you do a mistake, you have to get punishment. Material energy is like that, unforgiving. If a child, you know, if your child puts his finger in the fire, right? The fire will burn the child's hand because it's a material energy. It will not differentiate between the child and the mother. Unforgiving. But the spiritual energy, Krishna's spiritual energy is not like that. Very, very, very forgiving. For example, you know, I can say, sometimes when I'm in the altar, you know, sometimes, you know, when we do the acham and all that, the spoon slips off. You know, sometimes when you hurry or something, it falls down. It's a mistake. Right? But the Lord is forgiving. We have to face apology to the Lord. You know? The Lord forgives it. And sometimes arati also when we do, you know, we don't know, you know. We are trying to concentrate on the Lord. Sometimes, you know, the mind may drift away from the Lord. But still the Lord is so forgiving. Right? Day to day we see. We are not fully Krishna conscious when we are doing an activity. But yet, the Lord is so kind. He forgives us. But the material energy doesn't do like that. Doesn't. You do a mistake, suffering. Like a prison house. You do something, yes, they punish you. That is how it works. Very, 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 very tough material energy. So, the living entity is suffering because of the attachment to the material energy. So, what should be done? If someone does not want to suffer, the reaction of the material, what they should do? They should come away from the material energy. How do you come away from the material energy? By going to Krishna. Detachment from matter. Right? See, we know that we are the soul, right? By Krishna's explanation, Bhagavad Gita. But yet, we are attached to matter. What is this body? The body is matter. So, spirit soul, which has got a higher consciousness, is attached to matter. Matter, it's attached to matter. This is our whole problem, existence. The whole existence in the material world is a soul is attached to the inferior energy, matter. But if the soul is attached to the supreme personality of God, supreme, then he will get unlimited happiness. Because Krishna is a reservoir of happiness. But we don't want to do that. We are attached. We are attached to the matter. Why? Because of the three modes of material nature. The material energy is catching us. Why it catching us? How it is catching us? If you do something on the bodily platform, it binds you. It will never leave you. Even later on, if you want liberation, the material energy will not leave you. It will say, you wanted it before, so I'm not leaving you. So liberation is very tough. As long as you are binding to the material energy. So naturally, one have to leave matter and get attached to Krishna. So the whole exercise of Krishna teaching Bhagavad Gita is to detach from matter, attach to spirit or Krishna. See, in this material world, everything we see is only three modes, matter. We don't see spirit at all. The only way you can see spirit is by hearing about spirit. Because this is a world of matter. This is material world. in the material world, how can you see spirit? How can you spirit a soul? Our eyes is material. The ear is material. It's all made up of material. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. How can you see Krishna's transcendental activity nor Krishna's part and parcel as soul? So when I see, right, I look at your body. I look at the body of everyone. So I don't see soul. So it's the knowledge which Krishna is giving in Bhagavad Gita. Through the knowledge you see. Right? Through the knowledge you see, yes, he is a spirit soul. Because everyone is a tiny part and parcel of the Lord. Tiny speck, right? So everyone is a tiny speck. So through the knowledge I can see that. But when I see with the mundane vision, yeah, I can see only bodies. Material bodies. Deteriorating bodies. But through the knowledge, yes, see. I can see the soul. For example, it is said that when we see, right? We see through the mind. I don't see through my eyes. I see through my mind. Because whatever my mind is thinking, I'm seeing through you. Isn't it? We are seeing, but we see through the mind. What's the proof for that? For example, when I want to buy a car sometime back, everywhere I see only car. No, everywhere is not car. When I'm seeing, right? I'm saying, is this car for me? I want a Toyota RAV. I want this thing. I want this. Everywhere I'm seeing car. See, I'm seeing through my mind. And when I wanted a house, everywhere, you know, this locality, that house, this house, everywhere I'm seeing. So, are we seeing through the eyes? Or are we seeing through the mind? We're seeing through the mind. Right? So, above the mind, Krishna gives an hierarchy in Bhagavad Gita that sense object, senses, mind. Above mind is intelligence. Above intelligence is soul. Right? So, the intelligence is above mind. So, if you constantly read Bhagavad Gita, yes, you are not this body. From chapter 2 onwards, Krishna is emphasizing this point. You are not this body. Your spirit soul. Your spirit soul. Your soul. And entire Bhagavad Gita is based on soul only. Right? This knowledge, if we have, then when we see, yes, a person has got a gross body, subtle body, and then soul is inside. We are the soul. The body is made up of, it's a material machine, made up of matter. So in the matter, the soul is there. And once the soul leaves, the body dies. Right? But because of our lack of knowledge, I see someone as a body. I see someone as a body. Because of the lack of knowledge. But you have knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, then you can see. Pandita Samadarshan, Krishna explains, right? A learned person, he sees, what all does he see? He sees a cow, a dog eater, an elephant, and a Brahmana, and he sees that in each person there is Paramatma. He sees that. What's the difference? The body is different. There are 8.4 million species of life. There are different bodies. Inside the body is the same soul and Paramatma. Pandita Samadarshan, a learned person, he sees that. Through knowledge he sees. Right? So the Bhagavad Gita talks about three levels of knowledge. The first level of knowledge is understanding the difference between body and soul. The second level of knowledge is there is a difference between soul, individual soul and super soul. Second level of knowledge. Right? And the third level is the soul, individual soul has to perform devotional service to the supreme soul, which is Krishna. That's the third level. That's a confidential knowledge. Most confidential. So confidential knowledge, more confidential knowledge, most confidential knowledge, Krishna is revealing in Bhagavad Gita. The confidential knowledge is understanding that you are not this body but spirit soul. The more confidential knowledge is you are a soul, but above you there is one more soul, super soul, that is present inside your body. And most confidential knowledge is a single soul, a tiny soul, has to offer loving service to the supreme soul. it's perfect. And Krishna explains in the 14th chapter, Nature Enjoyer Consciousness, that one who does not know the difference between body, soul and super soul, Krishna says, I don't consider them as intelligent. They are basically, Krishna says, fools. Because they just know only the body which is going to perish, you know. It can die today or tomorrow. It's a matter of time. Because in the past, we did not have this body. In the future, we will not have the body. It's just for the time being, 50 years, 40 years, we make a big fuss about it. Right? So, one who does not understand the difference between body, soul and super soul is not at all intelligent. It is not that you go and get a degree from Monash University, that your intelligence. No. Bhagavad Gita. Alright. Anyway, time up. So I'll stop the class here. Thank you very much. Any quick comments, corrections, questions? You caught me there. Okay. I was about to explain that. I forgot about it because of the... As you know, right, I'm also old. I'm forgetting. So you have to understand that. Forgetfulness. Okay. I was just referring to that. In fact, I was also quite curious to understand what is the Prabhava and the Vaibhava forms, right? Because Srila Prabhupada explains, right, every form of the Lord is the same, non-different. Then why these forms have come? So, Srila Prabhupada explains very quickly that Vaibhava forms means the Lord expands to share His emotional dealings with others. That is Vaibhava forms. For example, He said, and continuing Prabhu, Jai Jagannath Prabhu, continuing our answer, it says, the forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princes in different apartments were all slightly different just to match each and every one of them. So what the Lord has done is, He expanded into 16,108 forms because there were 16,108 princes. So He expanded. Now each one of the ladies have a desire to get a particular husband. My husband should be an electrical engineer. My husband should be an IT engineer. Now Lord, okay, I am an electrical engineer. I am an IT person. I am an accountant. Right? Like that. So slightly the Lord had a variation. But His form is transcendental. Just as I said, Srila Prabhupada says somewhere, to deal with emotion, because after all, spiritual life is emotion. Right? Dealings with the Lord is emotion. Baba. So to have different emotions, the Lord changed. In one house, you know, He was cutting vegetables. In another house, He was washing the vessels. Which sometimes, most of the times I also do. So, at home we have to do here. And then cleaning the floor. You know? Okay, all of you, you know, it's a lesson for you. It's not that, you know, marriage is not, you have to do all the job. Krishna has done that. So why, there is no excuse for us, right? So in another house, you know, He was, you know, whatever, maybe folding the clothes or something like that. So Narada Muni has witnessed that. Because Narada Muni thought, anyone who expands, right? Maximum, of course Narada Muni knows everything, you know. He says, maximum, according to me, if someone is a mystic yogi and they expand, they can expand only 9 times. Kardama Muni done that. To satisfy his wife, Kardama Muni, 9 times he expanded. Now, Saubara Muni expanded 8 times. But, when they expand into 9 or 8 times, they do the same activity. For example, I'm just saying, I cannot expand. I can only contract. If I expand 9 times, all the 9 forms will be only reading Srimad Bhagavatam at this point in time. Right? I cannot go outside. All the 9 forms, same job. But, Krishna, 16,108 forms of the Lord doing different activities. That shows that He is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. Again confirmed. Okay, Prabhu. Now, this that is Vaibhava form. The Prabhava means when Lord when the Supreme Lord was having his pastimes with the gopis, rasa dance, the gopis had a desire. They want exactly Krishna. So the Lord multiplied into millions of same bluish Krishna. Right? And then he was associating with all the gopis. No difference. So same form, without any difference, again based on the emotional attitude, but no change is Prabhava forms. Vaibhava forms means slight change based on emotional attitude. Okay, Prabhu? Swayam Prakasha, the Lord can expand himself to various personalities. Swayam Prakasha, I've read it somewhere, but to answer the question, I don't want to give a wrong answer. I've read it somewhere, but it doesn't strike my mind. Maybe the Swayam form, I think, of the Lord. From there, these two forms would have come. I'm just speculating at this stage. So, probably, I don't know. So, this is what I read, Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. Okay, Prabhu, thank you very much. We'll stop here. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Prema. Okay. So I didn't want to. Swayam Naka original.